tonight. I'm drunk.
The gentleman in the tower says, "Start your engines," and the roar of the mighty V8 spring to life. Meanwhile, in the aluminum bench stands, four misplaced travelers sit amongst sweaty Walmart shoppers, paying no attention to the roar of the engines. Instead, they're rolling dice and playing cards. It's Fat Thursday.
Welcome to Fat Thursday. I'm Josh Look.
I'm Jeff Luce.
I'm Dan Raspler.
Gentlemen, tonight we played Thunder Alley by GMT Games, newly released.
Brand new. The sweat stains of the Chinese slave labor that assembled this game across the seas is still fresh upon the pieces.
Because GMT is going to love
designed
that.
Designed by Jeff Horger, the guy who did Maneuver, and I think there might have been another game on, name on the box.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's upstairs, and it's heavy.
I love Maneuver.
It's so goddamn
Maneuver's
heavy.
Maneuver's a great game.
Interesting that the same guy did both.
Yeah, it is. They're not even... Yeah.
Well, you know, it's sort of a new, unusual deck.
Yeah, right.
Powers your choice.
Yeah. So let's talk about what Thunder Alley is.
Thunder Alley is a race game with a theme of Winston Cup / NASCAR racing.
Right.
Very card driven, but the twist is you're not vying to get one car over the line. You want your whole team of cars to finish well.
Right.
Victory is based on team performance, not individual performance.
Right.
You run a different number of cars based on the number of players that are in the game. So we had a 4-player game. We had 4 cars each.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and indeed. It also determines how many cards you have too. So that's, you know, how many options you have on your turn. No dice whatsoever in this game. Should make note of that. That's
a big part of the game is the physics of normal NASCAR racing. So drafting is that's
huge. That's huge.
Getting your car into a big column of cars.
Yep.
So that you can push or pull your cars and try
right.
to hose the your opponents.
Yeah.
And get them disconnected right. from the big family.
It's difficult to get
cars.
Ahead solo. So you want to minimize the help you give to your opponents by
right.
maximizing the help they give to you. Very tricky.
Yeah.
Very tricky. A lot. It seems simplistic on the surface, and yet there's a lot of thought that went into the card play tonight.
Uncharacteristically thinky for a race
game. For a race game, it is thinky.
Game, you think something's going to be faster, and you
right.
kind of cut
it
off. Right.
And I think that's something that's actually – I think something that is to the game's benefit – is that it isn't another straight-ahead race game because you have tons of options for that. This game, in addition to its heavy emphasis on the drift rules and mechanics and how that all works, is
draft,
this kind of drift.
Draft.
Draft?
Draft. Drift is what they do in Fast and Furious, sir. Draft is what they do down south after they had a Budweiser.
The Manchester Drift they do in Connecticut.
Well, okay, so the draft rule. Never mind, okay? This is what's different, okay? You could be negotiating with other players.
You could be.
Okay, you could be. And the rule book actually points out that that can happen.
Yes.
And that's so out of the realm of an actual race game,
yeah, typical race
or an actual race. You know what I mean?
I like typical race games because they de-emphasize negotiation. If you're in a group and everyone's always conspiring, and those can get a little tiresome. Something like a race game cleans the palate. With this, Josh and I were at a certain point. We were in the tail of the pack, and so let's draft each other up into the good position. And you can be so super efficient with your drafting that your cars end up getting multiples of their normal speed.
Right. Well, I think that's one of the huge selling points of this game is that it encapsulates a lot of what actually does happen
right.
in a typical NASCAR race very effectively, very easily, very rules lightly. The negotiation aspect, I know you guys are very erudite. You eat wine and cheese and you watch.
I like the negotiation.
You watch the soccer, but the negotiation actually does happen in Winston Cup races. Me being a redneck,
I
know this.
I really like the
different teams will conspire against the other team.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of
really? Absolutely.
The
crew chief will radio the other crew chief and say, "You help us out, we'll help you out." Oh, it happens all the time.
Oh, so the game is even more realistic than we knew.
Right, indeed.
It's cool.
I also like the fact that, as you said before, the drafting is huge. And Winston Cup is all about the drafting, and as Al Rose found out to his dismay, the untoward appearance of the yellow flag can pretty much tell you to go straight to hell. All your plans mean nothing.
At the end of the turn, just the basic sequence of play, at the very end of after every car has taken its move, you draw a random event.
Right.
And the random events are really super colorful. So it could be rain, it could be a wreck on the highway, it could be something. And in racing, sometimes there's like yellow flag, which means all cars have to slow down, or red flag ends the race.
Yeah.
So go on.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of the red and the different flag colors, and sort of the thing that goes along with that is the pit rules, I think, are really cool. If you've got a green flag where the race is still going on, they kind of abstract how that goes down, with you just kind of go off into the apron, and you go back five spaces.
Often in racing games, there's sort of random damage that you get. With this one, it's very deliberate. Most of the cards that you play on your vehicles damage the vehicles in some way. So it might be a little tire damage, might be a little transmission damage for every single card you play throughout the game.
Right.
And at a certain point, if you accumulate, in this case, 3 points of damage, your car really radically slowed down. So you have to pit stop.
Yeah.
In different racing games, the pit stop mechanic can be burdensome. And this one, it's kind of elegant.
I really like the way that works. In other race games that we've played, Bolide or Formula Day or what have you, the pit rules often get...
It's the most complicated part. It's the most complicated part of the game.
Right. Where do you stop? How fast do you get back out? How fast can you go? How much damage is repaired? Blah, blah, blah. No. Very straightforward in this game. All temporary damage is tossed out. All permanent damage stays. And you're back on the track, albeit at a reduced pace when you initially return to the track.
A lot of streamlined rules in this game.
Right.
A lot of streamlined rules.
So,
but it's also, like I say, it's an entirely different take on the race genre.
It loses, let's sort of Formula Day, I think, is the classic. I don't love it. But it does get the crowd cheering with crazy dials and all the rest of this. This totally loses all the craziness because it's very thinky. And the negotiation can be very thinky, but of course what the other player is doing is not out of your control. So somebody could cut you off, somebody could split up your beautifully composed track of cars, you're psyched to do all the drafting all the way around the track, and somebody cuts you in half.
Yeah, it's a chaotic game.
It is. It has a lot of chaos, but that's also addressed in the rules where the designer tells you that it's very chaotic and that only over repeated plays and perhaps through the campaign / season scenario where you play all the races, that might even out. In the end, I think it's one of the better race games. I mean, obviously, we've only played it once, so it's a tentative discussion and a very
first
impression.
Yeah.
But I'm all for it. I'm going to give this game a thumbs up because I think it really delivers on what it sets out to do, which is relatively fast, although with more meat and strategy to it than your average
dice
fest that you would get with, say, Formula Day.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, it was good. Thumbs up, too, for me.
I can't wait to play it again. I'm really impressed, and I just want to... There's a few other things. Now that I wrap my head around a lot of the concepts, I really...
Components-wise, there's four different tracks, which I
think
is pretty cool. You can play with
unmounted boards that we should definitely mention because GMT doesn't always do that.
The different movement modes I personally had problems with. It's very simple once you get too used to it, but there's sort of different, slightly different movement modes with slightly different point costs for slightly different things. That takes a little getting used to. And if they had a tiny little play aid, they try to have one on the board which happens to have a typographical error in it.
Yeah.
But in 2 weeks from now, someone's going to post a good play aid to simplify all that
and
stuff.
And it doesn't even need to be that big. Yeah. Like, you're probably looking at, like, a 2x4 inch.
Yeah, yeah.
As to the game components, there have been already some complaints about the overproduction of the game in that the boards are typical GMT full-on, hardcore,
deluxe
boards. They're fantastic. They're great.
Yeah.
There are those who say they are too heavy. Those people need to go to the local Y and participate in geriatric aerobics in the pool and perhaps develop some muscle tone. Because I, for one, am a big fan of those boards. I think they're fantastic.
And you're let's face it, not in shape.
I am, no.
I mean, let's be honest.
I could collapse at any moment.
Yeah.
I'm willing to risk it with that box.
In the interest of full disclosure, Jeff is our resident NASCAR fan.
Really.
Well, wait. I said, how many NASCAR races have you been to? And you said, plenty.
Plenty.
Yeah.
So, to me, if you've been to two, you're a NASCAR fan. Okay. Plenty. I mean, you're definitely. I'm not saying you love it, you follow it as a racer.
I was captivated by this game. I might go to Walmart tomorrow.
Well, here's a question.
Really?
Just to see what it's like.
Do you think? Yeah. Do you think a love of NASCAR is necessary to enjoy the game? I would say no.
Not necessary, but I think it definitely, if you're into it, it will enhance your.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your appreciation of it. And like then we talked about there's sort of the damage you take based on your different maneuvers is generic. So your wheels or your transmission or your fuel is just generic damage points. But
until a certain point.
There are simple optional rules.
Right.
So that you can make it a little chewier so that your tires have this effect. If you're low on fuel, it has this effect. Plus the random events, if you've been abusing the transmission cards, your random events make it likelier that whoever has the most transmission damage in the field
is
going to pop his transmission.
Right. And that's what I meant by saying it kind of does have an effect, even in the base rules.
Right.
I think that's going to do it for this Fat Thursday. If you like the podcast, be sure to drop a review on iTunes. If you don't like the podcast,
drop a review on iTunes. Only lie and tell how much you love it, even though you have absolutely poor taste.
Yeah. The whole thing out. All right, that's it.
We're done.
Fat Thursday is brought to you by Fortress Ameritrash. Join us at fortressat.com.